famous tells the stories about the tzaddikim. We change the hours, you saw, from 2 to 3 at each time.
Yeah. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Bender, Rav Aaron Chazan, he was one of the biggest people who did for the people in Russia in the olden days. He came to Uman in the horrible days of the wars between the whites and the reds and all pounds over there after the First World War.
So this is after 21?
I don't know years. I don't know these things. I tell you, after the First World War, you should figure out this.
I'm not a historian,
I have no idea.
1918.
Between 1918 and 1939, I have no idea when. So there was Balagan over there, and a lot of Jewish communities were destroyed. A big Balagan. I'm talking about the earlier years, right after the First World War. The first 5-6 years after. Afterwards, it started settling because the communists came in and destroyed everything, so there was nothing to be settled. Only in Poland there was big Jewish communities, but in Russia there was they were diminishing. Anyway, so he came to there, Rav Aaron Chazan, and he came and he was going around a lot of cities and helping Jews, and everything was destroyed. And in Uman he came, goes in the Brest of Shul, it was crazy outside, and inside there's a bunch of people sitting and hearing a Shiur Torah, and he goes into the Rosh Hashanah, and he goes into Rav Levitzer's house for Rosh Hashanah to eat. He sees a bunch of people sitting around hearing a shiur from Rav Levi Yitzchak. In Uman, Rav Levi Yitzchak and his family knew a lot of sorrow, a lot of suffering. Right? In Teplik, he lost his son Nachman, and then he had two sons left, Moshe and Avram Noach. But the hunger and the typhus that was going around, and then his son Avram Noach died, after his father, and then he had his son Moshe. He was all puffed up, he had two little skinny legs. He was also dying, and at the end, Moshe was cured. There's a story that happened after Avram Noach, the second son, died. And Moshe was also dying. And they were sitting and crying to Hashem, at least losing that son. Okay. And Amash, there was the despair and sorrow. Amash was very horrible, we can't even imagine. And that they see their son laying there dying. There's nothing to do. Malach HaMavis and Amash entering their house. So what are you going to do? It was Friday, Erev Shabbos, and nothing looked like it's going good. Rav Levi Yitzchak already was a young, only in his 20s, and already lost two children. He got up, he moved from his mind any thoughts of sadness and despair, and where did he go? To Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh in Uman. He lived in Uman. And he was screaming that Hashem will have mercy and leave at least his son. Hours and everyone from all around there were able to hear his screaming from all the houses around. And hours and hours and hours, people saw that the day is getting, Shabbos is going, and people were leaving the Tzion, going to prepare for Shabbos, and people were telling, Levitzer, no, I'm not leaving here until I hear that my son is any improvement. And then he opened his mouth and started crying to Hashem, saying, Hashem, he took two sons of me. I have only one son left, my only son, Moshe. He's lying there. He's almost dying. Please, my beloved Father in heaven, give me from your free treasures in Shemaim. At least give him another 50 years. At least give him another 50 years. A few minutes later, a messenger comes and says, Levi Yitzchak, there's a change. Your son is getting better. So he left the tzion. And a few days later, he was completely get cured. You see the tower up there. The funny thing is that 50 years later, exactly, he died. He was 54 years old. How did they find out about it? Because he was sent to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe, his son Moshe, and he got married, and he had children, he had grandchildren already, and he had the kosher life and everything. How did that happen? Because Rabbi Yitzchak never lost, by the way, his, how did they find out, by the way, that this story? So when he was walking after his son's bed, after he died when he was 54 years old, he said, why did I ask only 50? Why did I ask only 50? So they asked the Shiva, they asked him, what do you mean? When he said, so then he said the story. He said, why did I ask 50? I should have asked 70, 80. I have to bury my son. He buried all his son, all his children, besides his daughter. There are always sons besides his daughter, but at least the son, he saw grandchildren and great grandchildren. He saw a continuation. Can you imagine what these people went through, and they kept with their Muna, with Rabbeinu, and everything? Yeah. After the Shiva, he spoke, I praise Hashem so much, he gave me my son another 50 years to live. You see that it was for sure the prayers. There was no doubt. That was the prayer of Rabbi Yitzchak that gave him another 50 years of life. And I bless us all, Hashem, that we should also have the emunah in the tefillah. Our main problem is that we don't believe in our prayers. We don't believe in our prayers a lot of times. We don't believe in our prayers. Our prayers can do anything. Anything and everything. 2 weeks ago, it was supposed to snow in your shrine. Remember? Mm-hmm. It was a sandstorm, remember? You weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Crazy. I don't remember such a sandstorm in Shlaim. So heavy, so thick. Couldn't breathe. How were you doing? How was your wife doing with that? You closed all the windows and everything. You just stayed at home, didn't run around. Not do too much.
Still, it was difficult. Even though we had all the windows closed and the shutters and trembles down. She was using her asthma medicine like every hour.
Yeah, but it was very heavy. People with heart condition and asthma is very hard for anyone. It was very difficult. For me, it was hard to breathe. I'm telling you, I'm not an old person. I'm a young person. I'm healthy. But the memory I'm thinking of, one night was the worst. It was Thursday night. Wednesday night, I couldn't breathe. Anyways. So that Thursday was the first week where Dror wanted to do a jam session. Yeah? In Gan Sakir, he wants to start a jam session on Thursdays. So on Monday and Sunday, I tell him, listen, Rav Dror, I don't think it's happening. I heard the forecast is supposed to snow. So he tells me, no, you go to the field. I don't need anything. Just go to the field and daven to Hashem, that will change. All right? So I went to the field on Monday afternoon for a few hours, and I screamed to Hashem, yeah, no snow, no, we don't want snow, we don't want rain, we don't want anything. We want a jam session. And you know what was on Thursday? It was cold. It was bitter cold.
Yeah.
There was no snow, there was no rain, there was nothing, it was just cold. There was no ice, nothing. It's cold and sunny and gorgeous out and sandy. So, but I'll all cancel it because of the thing. And this week we didn't have it because it was actually, there was a snow. Huh?
This week?
There was nothing, it was snowing.
No, you said this week you did something.
He did it. This week it was snowing. So, Hashem, hopefully next week, is the week before Purim, hopefully we'll have to do a jam session. Hashem and Gan Sakya. We come and everyone brings their instruments and we play guitars and drums and all kinds of things. And Liz also gives a shir, he comes with the family. In the afternoon, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Yeah.
What day?
Thursday. I don't know if it's going to be. Hopefully, he made already flyers. We'll give them out and everyone will see. So, another Shem, Yishur Al Siyadad Yishmaya. And, Rabba Shem. We'll meet. Yishur Al Siyadad Yishmaya.